When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tend to look down at others. They're stark, but when somebody steigs in a very healthy way with self-awareness of our own humanness and in a comfortable way, a lot of the looking down at others is an insecurity. I'm stark now. So anything that reminds me of my not starkness, so I put it down. A lot of why when somebody steigs, they put down others and they disconnect is an insecurity. I don't want anything that reminds me of my humanness. When somebody steigs in an honest way, in a comfortable way, they're comfortable with others. And I've seen that in Yosef. Tremendously steiging. If the guy next to him is struggling, there's respect, there's comfort, there's, it's a very secure type of steiging. So I'm very, very excited, Yosef, that the home you're going to build. You and Abigail are going to build a very, very special home. I'm excited that his kala's name's Abigail and he became a chassan and adar. What an appropriate kala. Abigail is Esther Amalka, I believe. Was another name? Is that Abigail? Did I make that up? Hadassah was Esther. Avi. That's a kubi I'm mixing up. So just saying, like, if you have another l'chaim, that would be. Yeah, ayelas hashacher, ayelas. Yeah.
No, give me.
No. You're right. So I'm making up that Abigail. That's Abigail, maybe. But anyway, I wanna wish the chassan Yosef and Abigail Mikael and Abigail, they should really build a wonderful home of bayis them of Yisroel. Ellie, I want to talk for a minute. I'm going to introduce Avi. I want to share something with the Chevra about chasnas. Here we have a chasn Yosef. And an honest person, Ellie, we have a mitzvah to be mesameach a chasn and kala. It's a mitzvah, mesameach a chasn and kala. And we go to great distances to cheer up a chasn and kala. That seems rather odd, Ellie. Any sophisticated person would wonder, the chasn and kala are plenty happy. They're very happy. You're going to the chasna to cheer them up. They should cheer us up. They're happy. They found their mate. Chasna and kala. Yosef found Abigail. Abigail found Yosef. And we're traveling to like be misameach, the chasna and kala. They're very happy. Now it is gishmak to celebrate simchas with friends, to share with friends. But I want to explain something that I think is something that I've seen in my life. I want to talk to guys. It's relevant to your room. It's relevant to something we're going to do in a few minutes. I want to share this with Chaim. It's very, very real. I could show you Mikairis Matairah and we'll talk about it. But I want to say as follows. A guy in yeshiva recently lost a relative that was very, very dear to him. A guy in yeshiva lost his aunt. One of the beautiful guys in the Chabura lost his aunt. And he was grieving a lot. I begged him to go home. His family was sitting shiva, his dad was sitting shiva, his grandfather was sitting shiva, his uncles, and I begged him to go to the Beis Avel. Why? His friends were here. There was no space for his grieving. He was grieving, son, and his friends cared, but life was moving on. Here, life was happening. Leagues, shear, next shear. There was no space for his grieving. Amazingly, Chazal, the Torah, which gives that the family sits shiva, means that the world stops. We're grieving now. And there's a space for grieving. I remember I was in Eretz Yisrael, my Zayda was nifter. It was very, very difficult being in yeshiva. There was no space for my grief. Nobody was being mean, but there was no space for my grieving. I wanted to grieve, I needed to grieve, and I needed a space where I can grieve. The amazing part of a Beis Avel is there's space for grieving. Lahavdil, to separate between sadness and happiness, what the job of everybody surrounding the chasna, if a chasna and kala were getting married, everybody else is running, we have busy days, seder, shir, we're running, there's no space for the simcha. There's no space to celebrate. The world stops. They're getting married. Chasna and kala, this is big time. Everybody stops and travels. If Nafti is getting married in Chicago, we're not bored people. We're not looking. We have plenty of parties right here. A day now, later in the year, this past Shabbos was worth like 40 Shabbos earlier in the year. The year goes on. A day after Pesach, the last month of the year, one day is worth like 6 months earlier in the year. Every day is more intense. Every Shabbos, we're flying to Chicago this late in the year. The answer is that for our friend, our world stops, and there's space for his simcha. It allows him to feel his simcha, to experience the world like stops. This is big time. And there's like space for this joy, for this celebration. The family stops Sheva Brachos. The family runs around and they make parties 7 days. The closest stop for 7 days to make room for a massive event that's going on. That's the job, very, very stark. The job of people traveling for a wedding is there's room for your simcha. We're about your simcha now. There's big stuff going on and we're traveling great distances and we're carving out a space for your simcha, your joy, your celebration. We're all stopping. We're here. We're in. We're celebrating this. We're making a space for this big event. Imagine a chaskal getting married and like everybody around them is like running and the world, oh, congratulations. So they would have to find themselves, but it's difficult to create something if you don't have the space for the thing that you're trying to create. You need the space for what you're trying to create. And the chasna and kala are building a home. Yosef's building a home. And the job and of the friends that celebrate, we make an afruf, we go to the wedding and we invest a lot. People drop all their Shabbos plans, and there's an afra for the chasna. It's the Shabbos before this chasna. Everything that happens during the week exists in the Shabbos before. Everything. This Shabbos is going to. Shabbos will contain Purim. Whatever happens, Shabbos is the Mekar HaBracha. The reason the Shabbos before Yom Kippur is called Shabbos Shuva is because the Shuva of Yom Kippur exists in Shabbos. The reason the Shabbos before Pesach is called Shabbos Hagadol, people read the Haggadah because Pesach's in Shabbos. Everything, if there's a chasna during the week, the Kedusha's in Shabbos. People who know Zmanei Shabbos, people can feel things that will happen during the week. People can do all sorts of things on Shabbos, have them in car the whole week. Now there's Svarim exactly, Friday night is Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni. Shabbos morning is Shlishi and Revi. Shabbos Mincha is Chamishi and Shishi. There are rules to this. What contained in what part of Shabbos, there are rules to it. But things exist, and already from the Shabbos before we celebrate the Chasen, we make an afro. We're already tapping in and making a space for this cataclysmic event, this huge event. A simcha, a home is coming, a massive event is happening. We make the space for it. I wanted to ask, I was very nishtoimim after davening. One of the chevra I saw after davening was in the room and was grieving. And Avi was telling me about a zayd who was nifter this past summer. And he was telling me somehow davening and hearing a kaddish being said was ma'irah grieving for a zayd. So I asked Avi, I wanted there be space in yeshiva. I wanted that one of our chaverim has a zayd. I'm very moved. To me, it was already a eulogy on his grandfather. An Avi Zayda, that a guy months later is thinking about his Zayda. So I asked Avi to share a few, to pull up the chair, Avi. I asked him, here's a space for a bacher to talk about his grandfather. I asked his grandfather was nifter this past summer. And perfect. I asked Avi to share a few words, Shabbi Yitzchus, for the Zayda moved to Olam Haba. It's a tremendous sign, not having a Zayda who was an important figure in Avi's life. I asked Avi this morning to share with us. I said, come to Musa, hear this space for the next person. And I want to hear somebody, but I want to say, why do I want to hear about a Zayda? a bacher sitting at Shachris and hears a Kaddish cries for a Zayda, that's a Zayda who was a Zayda, who was involved and connected. So I asked Avi to share a few minutes, a few thoughts. He said, I can go for hours. So hours we don't have. There's Mustafad, the second Seder. But I asked Avi for a few minutes to share some recollections about his Zayda with the Chevra for a few minutes. And then we're going to continue studying what we're studying.
I just want to talk about my grandfather. I want to
introduce your name.
Tell him.
Tell your name
first. Avi Elimelech is my name. From Canada. In the summer, 5 months ago, my grandfather passed away. And my grandfather was like no other connection I've had in my life. I've had all kinds of relationships with all kinds of people. And this was just like completely different. He took a father, grandfather, best friend role, brother role. He had it all. And tons and tons of people felt very, very, it was just like the amount of people at a funeral, the amount of people, like I've been to a funeral before, I've been to one or two besides that, and just like the amount of people who were so like humiliated and upset was just like mind-blowing. This entire summer I was supposed to go to camp, I was supposed to have a good time, but he was really ill. He was sick for 3 years. He was already on like a feeding tube. He wasn't able to use his mouth. He was just not living properly for 3 years. And by the summer, it started to get serious. It started to get really bad. And I knew that like I need to be with him. And that's all I could think about. It's the only thing that was on my mind 24/7. And my father gave me a little bit of a offer, like an idea that I should. He said that there's four brothers. My father has three brothers. And they were all alternating because he had to have someone in the hospital with him. They were all alternating nonstop. It was like, it was insane for 100 days plus. And they were like running out of resources. They couldn't, like they had work, they had kids. So I took on the role. I decided to be there by his bedside for 2 months, July and August, the two big months for teenagers to have a good time. And I shaved his beard, I put his tefillin on for him. I really got to just give back what he gave to me my whole life. That was a bit of what happened towards the end. I just want to speak quickly about who he is. The amount of people I know that would go to him for advice, the type of answers he would give to the craziest problems were insane. The saying that people have for him, my father always says this, and a bunch of other people always say this, that my grandfather was the best person he knew at finding the simplest answers to the most difficult problems. And people would come with these life problems, with these crazy, crazy situations, and he would just give one, like, two-word answer, and, like, they would be, oh, my God. He always, like, gave like, a chiruch type towards me. He always had a soft spot for me. My parents were divorced. He always felt for me and my older sister. And I don't think I can know one time in my whole life that he said no to me for anything. I said, I need $100. Sure, okay. He never ever said no to me for anything I ever asked him. And even like as a little kid, like you would get take advantage sometimes. You're 8 years old, you want this, you want that. Like he never said no. He was just the stories that came out from how humble he was after he passed away was incredible. I'll bring a quick story. He was, maybe like 20 years ago, he was very involved in like stocks, and maybe 15 years, stocks and trading and all that stuff. He was a businessman as well. And he had a broker for his trades. And he had a shachris in the morning, or minyan. It was one of the minyanim of the day. And one of his stocks that he was like all in on, like all the marbles were on one of them. There was like a big deal for him. He knew it was gonna shoot up that day, and he had to pull out instantly. And he knew around what time. He knew it was gonna be in minyan. Like he was smart. He was able to tell. And by the time he got to minyan, he was getting spammed by his broker. Maybe 100 calls, saying you have to take the investment, you have to take it out, you just doubled your money, you have to take it out. And he said he saw all the notifications and stuff, but he's not gonna go on his phone. It's davening, it's important. So he instead he stuck to his values and himself, and then after davening, he checked his phone. The stock went up 5 times. And when it was supposed to just go up and down. It quintupled, or whatever you want to call it. And it just, these stories are just, I know more stories. I told him, I could talk for a long time. Like, we went to a pizza shop together, and we waited 20 minutes for a fresh pizza. And finally, or the bakery, waited 20 minutes for fresh bread. And finally, after 20 minutes, we got our bread. Right when we got outside, there was a lady outside who was hungry, and he just gave it to her without thinking, no hesitation. So as you can see, he was, I always looked at him as like a very just special, like miraculous person, a very like amazing, incredible person, someone very different from anybody I know. I know a lot of amazing people, but he was just so different in so many ways. I want to end it off quickly with the last, like the story that, like how he passed away and what I say to a lot of people about him. When we were in the hospital, towards the lot, we'll go back. And when he was 54 years old, 16 years ago, he had cancer. He got it for the first time. And the doctors told him that he had 3 months left to live. 2 months left to live, 1 month left to live. And he thought it was over. But we all prayed for him. We said, it doesn't make sense. He's a very special person. He never did anything bad in his life. It just doesn't add up. Like let him choose grandchildren. Let him raise the grandchildren. Hashem went on to grant him 60 more years in his life. And I would always complain. I when he passed away, I was having a very difficult time with Judaism, with Emuna, with everything. Nothing made sense to me. He was such an amazing person. He was 70 when he passed away. It makes no sense. He was always healthy. He was always just incredible to absolutely everybody. Why is that fair? So I went to every single rabbi in Dubai. I must have spoken to over 100 rabbis, and I wanted to get different answers from every rabbi I spoke to. Every rabbi I met, I would ask them the same question. Does it make sense? So I was on a Shabbaton in Connecticut, actually, and there was a rabbi who posted a shir about what we spoke about. And he was telling me how he was at 54, it was a din. It was not a din. It was rachamim. It was not set. And that means there was leeway for us to pray, for him to pray, and there's always more you can do. But every single person, and what I came to realize, a big lesson from all of it, every single person has a time and date that they're going to pass away. And you have to cherish every second you have with all the people you have. And at the end, when it came to the final days, the way he passed away was incredible. It blew my mind. We were in the, it was probably like a, it was a Monday. It was Monday, and the doctors said we have 1 day left. We were all crying, extended family, friends, everyone was broken. And my father didn't even let me see him so much because he couldn't even recognize him at that point. All the tubes and all the medication in the hospital, and it was very difficult. Every night, that entire week, they said that you have a couple hours left. And every night when I went to sleep, I wanted to it was very, very difficult. And I said, Hashem, I need some kind of way to get comfort from this, because we know it's coming. Please help me find a way to get comfort from this. So, Monday, you have a few hours left. Tuesday, a few hours left. Wednesday, you don't even have a blood pressure anymore. Thursday, how is he living? It makes no sense. Friday, comes around. It's Erev Shabbos, and my father always had faith that he would keep going. But even my own father told me that he's not even gonna make it to Shabbos. Like, he even told me that. So I was crushed. I was broken. I didn't believe him at all. I said, I asked Hashem. I want some comfort. I want him to die properly. I wanna feel comforted. And he's a holy person. He deserves to die on Shabbat. So Shabbos comes around, and I was at home because it just didn't make sense for me to be at the hospital because there were so many people there already. There were all his children were there, his brothers were there, a lot of people were all there around his bedside, and Shabbos hit, and he was still going. And that entire week, by the way, he didn't move once. He was in that position for an entire week. He didn't move one time. He didn't say one word. He didn't flinch, nothing. He couldn't even, but we knew he can hear us. So it's Friday night. My father and his three brothers and his uncle, they're all there. And they finally say, let's just start Kabbalah Shabbos. Let's just start praying. Let's get started. So they're all sitting around his bedside. They're crying with tears and tears and tears. And they're literally just saying the words like they've never said it before. Finally, they made it to the end of the prayer. End of Maariv. And Sfardim, we do Yigdal. I don't know if you guys do it, but after Maariv, we the last thing we say is Yigdal. So my grandfather, he always had a smile on his face. And every single Shabbat, at the end of Yigdal, he would say Shabbat Shalom in like a certain tune, and they sang it in that tune. And I believe it was when they were singing it, the second I hit the words Meitim Mechayekel, that's when he like flatlined. That's when he passed away. And it was just so incredible to hear that I would be able to be comforted. And the last thing to finish off with. I was always complaining, he's so young, but I was brought down that he was granted 16 years. He was supposed to die at 54. He made it to 70, and it says in Pirkei Avos, 70 is considered old. So everything comes together, and it gives me a meaning. The past 5 months of my life have been much more meaningful. It's been sad, but also very meaningful. Thank you for sharing.
Johnny, we're going into a song from there, not directly into which song are you feeling? No, there can't be words. Give us the Baal Shem's Niggun. That's to explain something. We come here today, a poor guy, Chaim Shavkin, comes today, this angel, was celebrating a chassan. We're excited, a chassan. Kalish speaks about making space for a simcha. Comes Avi Elimelech, and he says a eulogy for his beautiful Zayda. The Bachar has a Zayda who he has a connection to, took off his summer and cared for a Zayda, and shared beautiful words about a kind, wise, and gentle and giving person. He shared about a Zayda. And then Kalish is going to go on now, Evan, what's happening today? Whoa, where are you taking me? So please, I'd like to talk about a topic and describe that there's one sugi here. I'd like to share this sugi with the chevra. The kasha I want to ask you is, what in the world is pshat? Mayor, welcome back. You're also part of this, right? Fits in. Mayor's back home. This powerful. This lion of the chevra is back from Florida, back plugged into yeshiva. That's also connected to the sugi we're going to speak about. Avi Beitner's birthday yesterday, that also connects. What are we doing here? We're celebrating his birthday, celebrating Meir coming back, mourning Avi Zayda, celebrating Yosef Simcha. Yehuda, allow me as follows. Why on Purim do we give Matanis Lev Yoinim? There's a mitzvah, and I beg the guys, their days to Purim, do your mitzvahs. And you have a mitzvah, prepare from today. You have to do shalach manas, which means you're going to give two items, a gift to one yid. That's shalach manas. You want to give to more, beseder. But to one yid, you're going to have two gifts, two items, two food items, and you'll give to a person. There's a mitzvah in Purim to give matanos levyayinim, to find two poor people. It's extremely poor. Evyayinim, who mamish can't afford to put food on the table. You're going to find two such aniyim, and you're going to give a soda. Either you'll actually give them a soda, you can cook a meal and give it to two aniyim, or you'll give them cash that they could buy two aniyim. You're going to give them money to buy a meal. And every single guy in this room, me, you, and all of us, not your dad, not your mom, you, are going to do this mitzvah and figure out, should be to buy a nice meal is $5 to $10. $10 a guy for sure can get a butyl. Don't be cheap on it. So you're going to find two aniyim and give $10. Teach him $20.
Rebbe. But most of homeless people these days, they're just going to spend the money on other stuff besides
you find food. Somebody who's going to spend it and put food on the table. So says Eitan, a good cash. I can't find such people. So stick safe in a beauty. We have a Rebbe in Yeshivarai with Snicky. This is not the point to make an appeal for his stakas. He happens to have dope of some evyoinim, and you could actually give him the money, and he could be your shliach. Ask him. On Purim it has to be given. You're not giving the money to Rai with Snicky. You're asking him to be your messenger, or shliach. We have a principal shliach shod in Kimaisai. Please, on Purim, give it to two poor people, two evyoinim, and give, here is $20, I need 10 for one, I need 10 for another, and give it to two aniyim on Purim. Either he'll give it or he'll appoint the messenger to give it. So you could do with that. In your city, you might have somebody who collects, but your job is today, don't wait to find it. Now, why do we have this on Purim? What connection to Purim? Now, any joyous time, the Rambam writes that there's no joy where you're ignoring other people. The greatest simcha is to be joyous and to celebrate it with others. So simply it could be like the joy every Yom Tov, you're supposed to give chayus l'achayos lev nidkayim, to give chayus to people that are struggling already is part of the simcha. But there's got to be something more. Chanukah, you should always give money to aniyim every day of the year. What is it, Purim, that there's an Indian, a matanis lev, is a mitzvah, a separate mitzvah than the mitzvah all year round, is a mitzvah tzedakah. It's a chiyuv d'oraisa to give tzedakah, an obligation to give tzedakah all year round, Eli. What is it about the Chag of Purim that we have this Indian of matanis lev yoinim, of feeding the poor man? So I'd like to share a pshat. I don't promise you it's true, I'm searching for the truth. And the question is a bomb question. Why is there a mitzvah on Purim of Matanis Levyonim? What shaykhis? Giving to the Evyon, what shaykhis? I like to share a pshat that I think is MS. It talks to me, and I want to share, Eli, this pshat, why we have such a mitzvah. The facts are we have four mitzvahs on Purim. Comes this coming Yom Rishon, this coming Sunday, we have four mitzvahs that were commanded. We're commanded to hear the Megillah once by night, once by day. I'm counting it as one mitzvah. If one wants to count it as two, that's fine. So we have a chiyuv to hear the Megillah once at night, once by day. That's one mitzvah. We have a chiyuv to give shalach manas in the morning before you eat. You don't eat until you do your mitzvahs. Before you put a morsel of food in your mouth, give a gift. Give a gift. Give two food items to another yid. Prepare. Think about it before. At least give one shalach manas before you put a morsel of food in your mouth, because you do your mitzvah. You're giving a lot of them. Once you gave one, you were yaitzi. You could then eat. If you're wondering why there's no bracha on the mitzvah, that the Rashba, the Shuvas HaRashba pass, could be because a guy could refuse. You'll make a bracha, he'll refuse it. There are reasons. B'machshava, ein kan makom laharet. But the bottom line is you have a mitzvah shalach manas. So hear the Megillah night and day, shalach manas. Matanas levyainim. You have a mitzvah derabanan to find two poor people and give them a food, give them a meal to two poor yidden. And if you can't find, give it to Rai Wisnicki, he can. Or give it to a Rav in your town who collects. Make sure to give it before Purim and say, you're my messenger, to give it on Purim. So that's a third mitzvah. The fourth mitzvah is to have a sudas Purim. To make a suda, it should be a mishtayayin. You should drink in the suda. You wash, you have a nice suda, sudas Purim. Those are your four mitzvahs. Now, why is one of the mitzvahs to give money to two poor people, Yuri? What does it have to do with Purim? Very relevant today in America, there's a huge situation of people breaking into the country. There's a whole tumult in this country, an unprotected border. People are flocking into the country. It's a very hot and a contested topic. One of the jobs of a king, there's a chazal, it's a mishnah, it says, Ilmalei malchus, without a king, ishes reyeyu chayim balu, people kill each other. Each person swallows up. Now a king creates law and order. That's what kings do. They create law and order. America had very funny situations, complicated ones. We saw rulers that we didn't like as a country. They were killing people in their country, and we said, this guy's a tyrant. This has happened a number of times recently to America in the last 30 years. We saw a king, we said, he's a bad guy, and we banged him off as a country, and I don't say wrongfully. We felt he's killing his own people, but what's happened a number of times is once the king was killed, people started beating the stuffings, and many more people were killed. You have chaos. You have what's called anarchy, just chaos. Because people are just beating the stuffings out of each other. So simple pshat is if you have a king, he has an army, he has policemen, he has soldiers that keep law and order in a country. But there's a much deeper aspect, Hudi, to a king, much deeper. The job of the king is everybody in the country has a place. That's what Malchus does. Malchus does that everybody within that melucha has a space and a place and an importance. A healthy king, a correct king, gives meaning to every single person in his country. His honor doesn't belong to him. He unifies his people and he gives a place to every single person. If you touch anybody, they're not just insignificant, they have an eved lemelech, they have a place. You touched him, you're in deep trouble now. A malchus gives important, a matter of fact, people want to get into the malchus, they also want a place. They also want meaning. They also want to be a part. A melech, there's a line about David HaMelech, is levavoi levav ha'am.
His heart was the heart of the nation. The Melech David gave purpose and place and meaning to every Yid. That's the job of a good Melech. The job of a good Melech is everybody in his environment counts. There are guys who are going to be counselors this summer. In a certain way, a counselor is the Melech of his bunk. If a guy is good at it, then every single guy in his bunk has a place. You're in my bunk, you count. Every guy has a place. You are failing as a counselor if there are guys in the bunk who don't have a place, who don't have a space, who don't have an importance, who don't count. Your job as a parent is a melech of sorts of your family. Everybody in this family has a space, has an importance. Everybody counts. That's the job. So a melech gives purpose to everybody in the kingdom. Hashem is Malkei Shel Olam, is the king of the world. And most specifically, he's Malkeinu, he's our king. And to be in Malchus Shemayim, to be part of the Meluch of Hashem, gives an importance and a meaning to every soldier. You touch one Eved of the Melech, you're finished. You didn't just, you met with somebody who's an Eved of Malkei Shel Olam. You know, you messed with, he's an Eved LeMelech. It gives a place and a purpose and a meaning to every single one. A Yid is banim Lashem, with the children of Hashem, with the people of Hashem. One of the basic tenets of Yiddishkeit, a basic belief we say in Ma'ariv Emunah Kol Zayis, Ki Hashem Elokeinu Ve'en Zu Lasei. It's a basic belief in Yiddishkeit, is Hashem Echad. There's one God. There are no two gods. Hashem Echad. Anachnu Yisrael Amoy. We are Hashem's people. With the Am Hashem is a basic belief in Yiddishkeit. Reb Miller said, "Any idea which Amun is more important? That there's only one God." Reb, you might think you know. Reb Miller said he wasn't sure. They're both not arguable. Hashem is one. Hashem Echad, and he has Goy Echad Ba'aretz, one people. In matter of fact, in our tefillin, it says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. In Hashem's tefillin, it says Mi Ka'amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz, a singular people. That's my people. We are Hashem's people, designated for God. That's a basic belief in Yiddishkeit, in a Yid, Anachnu Yisrael Amay. There came a people that don't want Hashem to have a dira b'tachtonim. They don't want a mitzius that Hashem exists here, that you can connect to Hashem. If you don't want Hashem to have a dira b'tachtonim, there's one people you have to contend with. You know, if somebody wants to rebel against the king, they could do whatever they want until they meet a loyal Eved HaMelech. He stands up for the king. If you ever picture a king in exile, everybody can dump dirt on the king until there's one loyalist who defends the melech. There's a people that are loyalists to Hashem, Anachnu Yisrael Amoy. If you want to deny Hashem, if you want to deny Hashem, there's a people you have to contend with, Klal Yisrael. We're here. We're an announcement. We're the nation of Hashem. Who am I? I'm one of God's people. Anachnu Yisrael Amoy. It's my identity. I'm a person of Hashem. Ana Abdo de Kud Shabrichu. My identity. I'm an Eved Hashem. Whoa. If you want to deny Hashem's dira b'tachtonim, you have to contend with the people who says, Ana Abdo de Kud Shabrichu. I'm an Eved Hashem. My identity. That's my construction. That's who I am. I'm a Yid. I'm a loyalist to Hashem. I'm an Eved Hashem. It's my identity. That is the identity of a Yid. A Malik, of course, who wants to deny, wants a world of Efkeres, as Hitler Yimach Shemai himself expressed. As Hitler Yimach Shemai and the Gras said that Germany was a Malik, and as Hitler Yimach Shemai said, expressed, that I am barbaric and I feel it's virtuous to be barbaric. And there's one people on earth that bring a guilty conscience to the world, and I want to eradicate. It's the Yid who says we're Avdei Hashem, we're the children of Hashem, we're the representatives of God on this earth. and Amalek attacks the Yid. Now, in order to defend, to fight Amalek specifically, you defend Kvod and Shel Yisrael, he's a Yid. A Yid means something, a Yid. And a Yid means every Yid. It does. If you just respect, oh, he's a chash of a person. No, no, no. He's a Yid. Not he's a tzaddik. Not he's gishmak. He's a Yid. Matanas Levyanim is the ultimate fight against Amalek. Because Matanas Levyanim says everyone counts. Here you, it's the derech to overlook. Here it's the derech to count out. Here you, it's the style to just negate, not to make space. In the world of Avdei Hashem, in this world, there's space for every Yid. He's a Yid, there's a space for him. He matters, he's an Eved Hashem. He has a role in Malchus, each one has a role and a place and an importance in the Malchus of Hashem. And Matanas Levyanim says that we make space for every single Yid. There's no Yid, we don't, we're part of him, okay. Say that he's, no, 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 no. Not in the fight against Amalek. It's no coincidence that the first time Amalek attacks us, they attack HaNechshalim Acharecha, the stragglers, the sinning Yidden, they push out, the sinning Yidden. In the fight against Amalek, we bring in, don't touch one. There's Malchus, the greatest place to start up with Amalek. Amalek checks out, are you serious about this? And Amalek cheppers, Amalek fights with the Yid, like on the outskirts, in their want to fight Malchus Shemayim. Stop with this Yid thing. Stop singing Yid and Yid, knock it off. Amalek attacks, this guy, do you really need him? Does he really count? Let me challenge this. You're saying there's a Malchus Shemayim? Every person has a space and an importance and a value in Malchus Shemayim? Let me see how you respond when I chepper with the extra. The sinning Yid, the Yid. If you ignore him, if you say you make a fib to say him, extra. That's an attack on Malchus Shemayim. You've attacked Malchus Shemayim. Because Malchus is job that gives a value to every single one. They're part of the Malchus. They're part of this. And Amalek challenges on Echshalom Acharecha. And in the holiday, in the Yom Tov, when we celebrate, and we celebrate the defeat of Amalek, Matanas Levyanim, we find the ones that it's the most tendency, the extras, that who everybody forgets, the Ani who's Chashiv Kemes, who can't contribute much to society, he's a poor man. Is he even involved? Does he even notice? On Purim, every single Yid's looking for the Evyon. We have a Chiyuv now. You and I, you're thinking what costume, excellent. You're thinking what alcohol you're getting drunk, excellent. You have to think, who's the Yid who's out? Find him, identify him. And if you can't find him, find somebody who's looking for him. The Yid who others are forgetting, that people now, and our Chiyuv, we have no Purim without this. You didn't keep your mitzvah, Sayyim. There are people now identifying the Yid who's struggling and struggling most, are checking, are looking for him because we can't do our mitzvahs. Lest we identify and find each one. Where is he? And we want him to have a Suda too. He's part of this. In our Malchus, in the Malchus Shemayim, every Yid is included. Every Yid is part. Nobody's extra. Nobody's out. It's a serious Malchus. You're pretending on a Malchus. If this doesn't count, that, so then it's not real. By Yehi B'Shur Melech, Klal Yisrael as a Melech, it's real. In the Torah, there's a whole controversy. Are we supposed to have a king or not? Is that a b'diyeved, a l'chatchila? Should Yidden have a king? Before we ever had our first kings, now it's complicated. It sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu had a din melech, Yosef HaTzadik, it's a shailah. When we have a melech, how we appoint the melech? But there was always a matziv that Klal Yisrael felt Vayihi B'Shur Melech, we have a Melech Hashem. There was always a reality to our Jewish people. There was a Melech called Hashem. If we're weak in that, so we appoint the melech who represents Malkus Shel Olam. But there always was a melech, there always was a sense for Yibishur Melech. And when we have that sense, you know what happens? Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, the Jewish people is unified. When there's a Malkus Shel Olam, so then you don't touch any Eved. Anybody, the melech says, this person's untouchable. He's mine, he's from my kingdom. You mess with him. Eretz Yisrael waged the war because they touched. There are 100 hostages. People talk about Eretz Yisrael. They really should stop. They all can shut up. There's a hostage. Nobody should stop anything. No, what do you mean stop? It's the dumbest thing I heard in my life. Stop. No, you don't stop anything. They're holding a yid. They don't stop. We continue to fight. You're holding a yid. What world, which sane people, you hold one of ours, we fight. Give it, give back, every last one, we'll talk. There's no conversation, there's a yid being held by other people, by enemies, so then we fight. There's no, it's not a conversation. You have one of ours. We're not mivater, we don't look away, we don't forget, we don't manage with the rest, everyone counts. That's Purim. Matanis Levyainin, our chag is a chag. We're looking for everyone, the most down and out. We're finding him and pulling him. We're finding her and pulling her. They're involved. They count. They're in this one. They're part of this Malchus. And this is the battle against Amalek, who tries to knock away Malchus Shemai. What are you guys talking about? But we don't forget one. We don't forget about one. We're not mevater on one. Matanis levyanim. We're looking for the Evyan. He's involved. So today we may have done all different things. We celebrated a chassan. We welcomed back one of the big guns in yeshiva. Avi Elimelech said a eulogy. Said a eulogy on his zeda. All different. Like what's happening today? What's going on here? It's all related. It's all the space and every yid's journey. Avi spoke about a Zedo impacted him. Every yid's journey has a chashivos, because he's part of Malchus. He's part of this Malchus. He's in. He's protected by this Malchus. He's included in Malchus Shemayim. Vayhi b'shur melech. There's a melech in our people. Yachad shivtei Yisrael. There's unity. There, everybody's matters. There, everybody counts. When forces of Amalek who knock off Malchus Shemayim stop with this connection to God, in that world, they're extras, they're spare parts. Okay, you want to say this one's chashu, fine, he's a tzaddik. Let's knock off this Malchus Shemayim, this people of Hashem. And the fight against Amalek is precisely Matanis Levyanim, that we say we're not sparing one. They're no extras, they're no unnoticed, they're no invisibles, they're no lightweights, they're no... We find every single one is brought in, everyone is noticed. We're checking, we're marking, we're searching for everyone. That's the mitzvah, Matanis Levyanim. So first of all, I don't want to say a fiery shmooze and we ignore our mitzvah, Hefer. Wake up, you have a week, Sunday's coming. What are you doing about Matanis Levyanim? Find some money, a few dollars, and then find some. How are you going to do your mitzvah? Either you know of somebody, but you need two aniyim. Pashir are the most, avyayim is the most poor. Poor is not good. Mamish can't afford, so just find two and give some, and get, make sure to get them. You have to give it on Purim. You can't give it before. You give on Purim to two avyayim. If you can find, then give to them. If you can't find, so find somebody in every community. In our yeshiva, I was thinking, thankfully gives.
You can give to the shliach prior to Purim?
Yes, you can give to the messenger. Just ask, Rai Wisnicki, please give it on Purim. Either you or somebody you appoint. Speak it out verbally.
Is this l'chatchila v'yana?
L'chatchila. Speak it out verbally, l'chatchila, shliach l'chatchila. You could tie in a mitzvah by Yosef Mishluch. It's better not to have a shliach. So what I counter is on stucca, that's not true. Why?
Normally, we have a rule, better to do it yourself than a shliach. By tzedakah, it's better to do it matan b'seser, that the ani's not hurt. So could be better a shliach. It's a chumrah here, because they have ways of getting it to him that you might embarrass an ani. So here, I would not apply the standard mitzvah b'seh m'shlucha. I would say the best is to protect the dignity of an ani, and sometimes it's better to give through. Could be better. It's very shaykh. I don't want to say, because a guy might have a way he could give to the ani, so then b'seder, but it's possible it's better. So that would depend on the scenario. What? Revezi says it could be $5 to one, five to another. I don't want to say chumras on the chever shbir gans suda. So for $5, you get two pieces of pizza, a nice can of Coke. $10 is good. 10 to one. It's complicated. It's not so easy for $5.
It sounds like it's like a mitzvah that anis can't do.
Anis should do it too. He should find another yid to pull into, even an ani. Should find, he shouldn't give too many. You could do a bagel. Johnny's right. You go to Amis, you get a bagel and a can of Coke, $5, easy. See, he's right. And nobody said you have to give a, that's a, an Amis bagel with a can of cider, you're good to go. So $5 could do it. You know, it's good. Be careful. Give it geschmacks. If you give 10 to one ani, 10 to another, for sure, you gave him a nice suit. You want to give 30, teach your mamish, right? You're a rich man. You want to give 50, you're feeling very generous. Ashrecha. But that's the mitzvah that's on us all. But don't be ashamed. Think about it. Think about what's happening. Chazal said, Klal Yisrael right now is looking through all its anim. Amazing. It's part of built into the mitzvah Sayyim. We're finding the most astute amongst us. We're finding the poor people, Akiva. We're identifying. Because we're a people, a whole people. We don't forget one. We don't neglect, and that's the etzem achad. That's the etzem battle against Amalek. He rejects that there's an Am Hashem. Rebbe Ezi Shlita?
Right. You're not young, so people who have food, like
you
need that they
have food. It's mamish, very poor. It says Evian's like the poor. What?
There's too much,
no?
There probably is, though, practically.
But, there's plenty of honey. What is
that? They have food. All the yids are not really given.
Once that person's that poor, it doesn't say a cap. If people pool their money and give the guy thousands of dollars, it's not, you weren't Yitzchak, so you got from him. What? But he say, Rezi, speak up.
No, I mean, like, not. It's not very sticky. I feel like no food.
So he buys dice.
Can you buy food instead of giving me like the value of that?
Revezi, Akiva's asking Revezi. Revezi, I call him the Purim Rav, not because he has a good sense of humor. He knows the halachas of Purim well. Revezi,
oh, really?
Revezi, Akiva wants to know, instead of money, could I buy, go to Amis and hand the guy a suda? What's the answer? Is l'chatchila shab l'chatchila. If you buy a nice suda for a guy and you give it to a poor man, you barbecue a good steak, you did l'chatchila, a nice bottle of wine with a steak to an ani is l'chatchila.
You have to give the ani the money before Purim. So you can get his meal?
According to what I'm saying, what the Indian, it's not just like a chap to get him a suda, but of course, do it earlier that he can have the suda. Don't give it to him last second before. Zich, you should do it in time, but not before Purim. It's supposed to be on Purim, this Indian, on. That's my raya, Hudi, that it's an Indian tiefer than just that he has a suda. That's the raya. If the mitzvah was just a chatim, so you had a suda, so give it the day before. Clear that we're doing something. There's
Rabbi,
a pool.
Do
give it before. That's my raya. That
wow.
Doesn't end it. Yes.
I feel like any of us that go and give like a poor person, like anyone from this like room that goes and give, like they're like a young guy going to give like an old man. It's like a little like,
wow.
It's not so nice, you know?
Avi said, you want to hear something brilliant Revezi Shlita said? He said many brilliant things. Avi asked, isn't it embarrassing to the poor people? Could you imagine what Purim looks like? Purim is, we're looking for all our poor guys. So you get a knock on the door and the poor guy's who's like hiding. So Revezi Shlita said from who about Shalach Manas, who said, what?
Rav Eze Shlita said something brilliant from the Chassam Sefer, that may be a reason for Shalach Manas, that we give gifts to all Yidden, is it protects the poor guy. Because we're all running around. So if the whole Chag would be handing the poor man, so he would feel like embarrassed. See, everybody's giving. So, a brilliant Chassam Sefer. I think that's amazing. Rav Eze taught this last years ago. I think that's brilliant, that there's no embarrassment. Avi's right. If there's a way to do it less embarrassing, you should do it. That's why it could be better to give Rayusniki, to give the Rabbanim to give it. I know in Waterbury there people give Rabbanim. Right, Son and Shine, Rav Tully Bronstein, should write with Snicky's part of this, and they give it, so they're easier ways. Yeah.
No, so what Akiva's saying, I give a guy food, just like I gave Rabbi
Kiddush. Akiva's saying it's protective. You give the guy food, he doesn't feel badly. It's a good idea. Imamish is no different than a Shalach Manas. Hand the guy, your extra Shalach Manas. Brilliant. Thank you, Akiva. Yeah.
Why does it have to go for food, though?
What?
Why does it have to go for food?
Because it's supposed to give him the Suda. The Indian is to include, but the point is that every year it's included in the party. Every year, and we don't forget one.
See, what if he wants to use something else with his money?
He's a ladder. Akiva asks, let's say you give a guy money, does he have to buy a Suda? And the answer is, once you're giving the guy money, he should have a Suda, but he could use it for other stuff. All of a sudden, they give him a lot of money that he could use. We want him to have a Suda, the Simcha Rabbah. So if he has a Suda and he's all poor, this way he makes him to pay for tuition, they give him a lot of money. Shleima. That could be a nice marbe reyus. It's dangerous, Shleima. If you only give to guys you dislike, it's going to be like an insult. Nobody's going to want Shalach Manas from Shleima. Like, and probably nobody will get from. How are you going to give any shot? You're a guy who loves everybody. You're going to have no. You're not going to be able to do the mitzvah, Shleima. It doesn't always make reyus then. Then it's like, I don't really know you, let me give you. It's like, okay, you know. I think reyus is giving the closest people. It says, akarav karav kaidim. Always in friendships, the one we owe the most are the ones closest to us. The best shalach manas is to your best friend. The ones closer, your marbe reyus, it extends when you do that. It's always a dangerous way of thinking, Shleima, to be good to the one further. You're good to the ones near and it extends. We give to the Evian also, but the one right next to him. The world you made, Shleima, this is nothing to do what you're asking and I'm being rude. The world you built, a world of chasidus, a world where Yidden are included, like this is the Baal Shem's dream. Do you guys think there are no coincidences? There's a Yid, a tzaddik, a Lubavitch chassid, an older Lubavitch chassid with Zeicher, comes to this space Medrash all the time. You know, it's like a nes, mechatesi. An old tzaddik comes here, the Yid's a very big person. And Rav Levitan comes here to learn, it's pashut that there's iris here. It's pashut that a place. It's pashut, this is real stuff. A mother told me this week, she said, my son wants to come here. It doesn't make sense to me. It's as if his soul is telling him to come here. Mother, I promise, she wasn't being funny. When guys speak the last night, we've had guys say, I don't know why I ended up there. I don't know. Didn't even make sense. Guy says he wants to party. A guy's like, there's not a party town. A guy's sitting in Brooklyn, a lot more parties, and in Baltimore. And a guy says, I just felt to come here.
Canada.
I just felt. Not You're funny. Yeah, Shleima, I want on behalf. Really on behalf of the whole yeshiva. What Shleima does, round the clock, round the clock.